Bewandert nicht.
Started out through in Northwest London on Monday, 26th of Tammuz, 25th of July. Rabbi Moshe Betzalel Grossner Shlita Sarach Bas Osher. This week's Torah is sponsored by the family Lenishmas Imros Imros Martel Bas Ramera Fol Olea Sholom. This is Magda Joseph on her first yard site tomorrow.
Good morning, all.
Morning.
Shus. Mary. Everyone. This week's Edra we'll start with, obviously, first, and then we'll get to Sarach Bas Osher. So, in this week's Edra, we have the war against Midian. The war against Midian. Stam Agav. Nothing to do with the shiur, but I saw an interesting Mesh Chochma last night. So, and he talks about this halacha in warfare, in Jewish warfare, that you're not allowed to trap the enemy on all four sides, only on three sides. Why? So the enemy can escape. What's the logic? There's many understandings behind this halacha, but the Mesh Chochma says, it just struck me. Mesh Chochma says the idea is that sometimes when people are trapped, then they fight harder than ever before, because they know it's all over. So then, it can be from a yirush, can be a nitzochen, and you'll lose the war. Yeah. And therefore, always give place for them to echveis, become members of your state, or whatever. And that way, they feel that there is another option. We can defect, or we can be saved, and then they won't fight as hard. So, in this week's Edra, after the war, they bring back all the spoils, and it says, Ach eshazov, Elozo HaKoyen tells Klal Yisrael, Ach eshazov, eshakosef, the gold, the silver, mechoshes, copper, barzel, bedil, and oifores, which is lead, all these things, if they're used in fire, they have to be cleansed with fire, that's hagola. And it's also mavur in the psukim, that just the fact that it was in Goyish hand, you have to toivel it as well. It says the Toher, the Gemara is Madayek. Besides for whatever you used it with as the way to clean it, the Gemara, Navot Zora, Ein Hei, is Madayek. You also have to Toivel Kalim that you're koina from a Goy. Kalim that you borrow from a Goy, you might not have to, because it's not the same as what happened in Midian, that they took it from the Goy to be theirs. But Kalim that you own, that became yours from a Goy, you have to Toivel, is also learned from this verse. Now Ramban asks, one of the very famous questions of the Ramban, he asks, why is Hagolas Kelim and Tfilas Kelim said in Parshas Matos by the Molchemes Midyon? There was wars before that already, Sichem Va'oig, where there it's Mavua later in Dvorim, that they got, in Dvorim based Amatei, that they got Shlal, they got Sholol, they got Buti, and therefore they had Kelim and the likes. And if so, they already had this shine of what to do with Goyish Kelim, and the Torah should have said, to do the kashering, to do the tvila. Why do we only find this halacha at a later war, Melchemes Midyan? So the Ramban answers, he's gone arichus, but one nekud of his answer is that Sichem Va'oig were in lands that are called the Eretz Shiva Avamim. It's part of Eretz Yisrael. Some maybe when Mashiach comes, and some at least for now were given over to the Shvatim to live in. It's called part of Eretz Yisrael, part of the Shiva Amamim. And the Mela, that goes under the heter of a botim Malayim called Tuv, which the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin says that they were allowed to eat even chaza and the pots of the Goyim they were allowed to eat in those days while they were doing the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. And since this was a part of conquering Eretz Yisrael, Sichem Va'oig, therefore they had a heter anyway to eat from the Kalim, even if they had Blias of Chaza or whatever, didn't need to do Agolas Kalim because of a bottom Malayan called Tum. However, Midian was not part of the warfare of conquering Eretz Yisrael, rather it was in a coma, it was a revenge for causing Klal Yisrael to sin, and over there was no heter of a bottom Malayan called Tum, so now we needed to know, so what do we do with such Kalim that have Isurim in, or that come from Goyisha hands? I have to do Hagola, I have to do Tfila. These are halachas when we don't have a special heter of a botim Malayim Koltuv. Lahoris Nosan, so Rav Nosan Gestetner, he asks an interesting question. He brings from the Turi Evan, Mesechus Rosh Hashanah Yud Gimel, the following question, and then he adds, relevant to our case. It says like this. It says in Yeshua, that they only ate from the new produce after Pesach, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. That means they waited for the Chodosh, right? They didn't have a Korban not in yet, but they waited for the day of Tezayin or Pesach to be Mati, the new produce. And the question is, that's during the 7 years of fighting, and right, this is when they just came into Eretz Yisrael, and there's halacha bottom milei and kol tov that you know you can eat your chaza. So why couldn't they eat chodosh? Why did they have to wait till the day after Pesach to eat the chodosh? Bottom milei and kol tov, you can eat chaza, kavachoyim, you can eat chodosh.
Why isn't it metamtam kol
tov? Because the Torah says it's mutter. The Torah says it's mutter. It's not going to be metamtam. It's only metamtam if it's osa. So the Torah Eben, I think we once spoke about it, the whole thing, if it's Bechlal Mamash Mutta, it's only if on the front lines they don't have any food. I think we spoke about it once. So Akaponim, the Torah Eben answers that this Heter, bottom lane called Tov, is only for something that you can't change, like a piece of Chaza, I can't change it into something else. So Torah says it's Mutta. But Chodosh, you can wait till the day that's Mutta. So why ach techlenu beisa techlenu beheta? Wait a few days and then you'll have it beheta. That's what the Turi Evan answers. Says the Lahoris Nosan, if so, it's Shveil and the Ramban. What's he answering? That they were allowed to eat from the Kelim of Sichem Va'oi, Bishlema Chaza, a piece of Chaza, you can't change to not Chaza. So Torah's Mate, bottom name called Tuv. But Hagolas Kelim, why have the Blias of Issa do Hagola? Or, even if you tell me Hagola's Kelim is in the head of a bottom lane called Tuk, because Tuma Achila, of the Tevila of Kelim, which has nothing to do with Achila, so just do it. As the Torah Evan tells us, it's not an outright blanket heta or bottom lane called Tuk. Whatever you can do to have things be heta, you should still do. So why wasn't it applicable in Sichem Va'oig, even if it was a chelik of Kivash Aretz, which upon that is said the head of the bottom lane called Tov, you should still do whatever you can do to make it more mutter. Why do you have to wait till Mochemes Midyon to tell us the halachas of Agolas Kelim and Tfilas Kelim? Where did they have a mikvah in the Midbar to do Tfilas Kelim? So he brings from the Gemara and Shabbos and Rashi that the Beirush of Miriam had the halacha of a mikvah and that could have been used. Just kedai to know, as we head into the shtickle, what one of the ideas of why we need to do Tfilas Kelim when Kelim come from a goy to a yid, even if he didn't necessarily use it or he already kashed it, so what's wrong? Yerushalmi, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Perikei Halacha Tezvov says, Mishum Shiyotzo Mitumas Akum, it came out of the Tumah jurisdiction of a goy, v'nichnesu l'kedushas Yisrael, and it's come into Kedushas Yisrael. So, again, let's just recap. The Ramban tells us that we have halacha. Let's concentrate on Tfilas Kelim today. Let's leave out Agolas Kelim. We have halacha of Tfilas Kelim learned from Melchemes Midyan. The question is, why don't we learn it out from Sichem Va'oig, which was an earlier war? They should have had to do Tfilas Kelim when they took the Kelim from Sichem Va'oig. He wants to say that Sichem Va'oig is Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, and in Melchemes Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to have Dvarim Asurim, therefore you don't need the Tvila on that. The question is that we see Chodosh, they were Makpid on in Eretz Yisrael, even during the days of Heter. Vice versa, if you're able to do things by Heter, you should. And therefore, why didn't they do the Tvilas Kelim already in Melchemes Sichem Va'oig? Why are we waiting for Melchemes Midyan? In the Shailas Teshuvas Chedvas Yaakov, Chelik Beis, Simon Mem Beis, it brings an interesting answer, which will bring us on to Serach Bas Osher in a minute, but first we have to finish this part of the topic. The Chedus Yaakov says, the reason why they were not commanded by Melchemes Sichem Va'oig on Tvilas Kelim is because there, the Hariga was in the way of Lo Sechaya Kol Neshomo. They killed them all out. And therefore, the Kelim were not changing hands from a goy to a yid, they were Pasha Hefka. There was no one to claim them. And on that, we don't say, Yotzo Mitumas Akum V'nichnasol HaKadushas Yisrael, which demands a tefillah. It's Pasha Poka. Poka. There's no jurisdiction over it. Ma'ashen Ken Melchemes Midyan, although they killed out all the Schorim and all the Noshim that were Uyim Liyois Le'ish, but the Bonois Tanois were still there. And the halacha is, although ben is yorish, bas isn't yorish, but when there isn't a ben, then the bas is yorish. Therefore, the kelim were theirs, and the yidden took the kelim from them. So it was yotzom tumas akum from a jurisdiction of a goy. There was a bainus to the jurisdiction of a yid, and therefore it needed tefilas kelim. In Shailas HaTshuvos Lev Arya, Chelik Beis Simchofei, that's Dan Grosnas, he has a very interesting question. What's the halacha with a ger that's nisgaya? Does he have to toivel all his kelim? Right? It's yotzo mitumasa akum lekdush yisrov. It's the very same person. Does he have to toivel all his kelim? And it's a long tshuva. The discussion is, he didn't buy them. The Gemara says, if you borrow them, you're not chayav between the kelim because you didn't take them from A to B. That's that. The Gemara says, borrowing is not the same as buying or taking because it's not the same as the story of Midian. Well, here's also not the same as the story of Midian. A hasn't taken it from B. Yes, he's changed it to new gavra, but the Maisa, A is A and B is B, the same person. So do we say that Ein lecha ela ma'asher kosov gzeiras hakosov, and we don't go so far as to be mechayev the person to be toivel? I think the neti of the poskim is yes, he does have to toivel.
You're making a kinyan in Ethiopia.
You're not making a kinyan. He's just saying exactly what you said. The point is the Gemara says it has to be exactly the same as Midian. The question is this the same? That's the point of contention. There's a Dagri Tshuva about it.
Isn't there a Meshach Chochma on this week's?
There is a Meshach Chochma, yeah. I'll tell you just the Muhammad part. Yeah.
He says that the Tefillah of the Goy will cover all his Kelim.
Tefillah of the Goy at what state?
He is Toivol, Hashem.
Yes?
Yeah.
That's a Chiddush. I hear what you're saying.
Somebody once wanted to suggest that all the Kelim that are difficult to Toivol, right, you should give us a present
to a ger,
and then it's his when he's there.
I have to check it out. Yeah,
is that the reason why in the coffee shop would use the results? You're only worrying them?
Yeah, the chora, yeah. Yeah, again, I'm not doing halacha lemaisa, I'm just telling you the outside. Okay.
It's difficult to understand what's the difference between buying it from a goy or picking it up from a dead goy.
There's a big difference. One doesn't belong to the goy, he's dead. And one belongs to the goy. So that in-between stage made the tumor go away. Like death takes...
It did belong to the goy.
It did.
Before he saw
yeah, correct.
It. And it did belong to the goy. Yeah, yeah. He died, so what's the difference?
The difference is that since he died, that limbo purifies it. The problem is to take it, that contrast of taking it from the tumor to the kedusha. When it goes into limbo land, that's Hashem's again, let's call it that way if you like, and that purifies it. No, that's handing over hand to hand. That's hand to hand. They grapple with this, but there is a difference. It's called a dakistika chiluk. A hair thin chiluk, but there is a chiluk. Yeah. Okay. Now, just a similar shayla, just also in the Lev Arya, very interesting shayla. See what we managed today. Anyway, an interesting shayla. A goy put up mezuzos before he became a ger. He liked, you know, the shmira of the mezuzos or whatever it was. So he put up mezuzos on his house and then he became a ger. Does he have to take them all back down and put them back up? Al tasav alo mina osu. So there's a long tshuva about that. But I'm just bringing this agav because I want to share with you something after I tell you the Rav Moshe Feinstein. So let me tell you the Rav Moshe Feinstein first.
Am I allowed to put a mezuzah on a goy's house?
There's a Gemara about it. It's a discussion. There's a Gemara and there's a Rav Moshe Feinstein as well. Rav Moshe says you have to be... There's a Gemara that he didn't send to someone a mezuzah, and sometimes you can. He says you have to be careful when you give it to a goy because he thinks it's going to guard from mazikim. He says you should know it doesn't guard from ganovim mezuzahs. I don't tell that to anyone because it doesn't sound very exciting for most people. But you should know anyway, Shimon Sofer says if you do mezuzah because you want to guard your house, you're not mekayim the mitzvah and it won't guard your house. If you do the mezuzah for the mitzvah, and then aga will guard your house. Yeah. Rabbi Shulamais is a chiddush. The Mefurash Gemara seems to be not like him. I don't think anyone really takes on like him. Rabbi Shulamais is basically saying it's only guards from illnesses and spiritual things, not from physical. But in the Gemara by Unklus Aget, Mavua, Pashtas, it guards, Kapshutai. They all ask on Rav Moshe. But That's a part of the reason not to give it to a goy, is he'll get angry if he has a geneva after and say the mezuzahs don't work. That's the discussion he talks about.
It's probably quite shkiach.
What? That goy and do it? Yeah.
Yeah, and all the gear will probably do mezuzahs.
Oh, as a startup. Ah, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So, okay, fine.
More for me,
because they
gave it to a goy.
No, he says he showed the door. He didn't actually give him. There is a Gemara, as I said, there is one place it's Mavur you don't, one place you do, so it depends if they're going to believe. It depends how much you trust this guy, if he's going to believe that Mezuzah, Mezuzah, whether it's Shalom him or not. I think that was the discussion. Anyway, let's move on. The Gris Moshe has a Shaila about Koyanim in the plain when there's a mace in the underneath? In the cargo. So the shaila is, there's a roof, there's a gap of a tefach, and there's a roof in between, maybe it's choitzitz. So metal, we see from our parsha, this is where we learn it from, is dovah makabel tumah. So it's not choitzitz. The shaila is, the airplanes today are aluminium, and that's a new metal. When the Torah said these six metals, was it specific? The fact that it mentioned, says matkos, and then it says all these six, maybe it's to say there are other things not. And glass, the Gemara says, has halacha of metal because you can melt it down and restart again. And even so, midoraisa, we do not compare it to the metals. It seems to imply that these metals only, maybe aluminium is okay. Ramosha tumbles on it. He wants to know, maybe aluminium is a type of these metals. Maybe the fact that there's other metals still, it's only 75%, 80% aluminium in an aeroplane. There is also metals. Plastic, maybe not mechanical too, but there is metals in the actual plane, and those metals are there to strengthen the plane, so it's a marmid, and a marmid is in a bottle, so it could be this tumor anyway. And arichus. So, what do I want to bring out from this? Back to the mezuzah, there are those that say b'shem the Baal Shem Tov that you shouldn't have a metal mezuzah case, say Sazoi. Be'etzem, I saw in the Sefer that they did, the Lever Ivri, Rekiv Yosef Schlesinger, he said they did digging by the Koisel a few hundred years ago, and they found stunning mezuzahs, diamond studded, etc., mezuzah cases. So he says there's a hiddur, just like you have an Esrog box, that's very nice, so too, a mezuzah, you should have a very nice mezuzah case. And if you'd like any, yeah. So you need a very nice mezuzah case to be mahadur in the mitzvah. Now, obviously, people don't do much of that. Definitely not outside the door, because it'll get stolen. But there is such a hiddur. So they bring b'shem the Baal Shem Tov. No, says by the mizbeach, you shouldn't put metal barzel over the mizbeach, because the mizbeach gives life. And Barzal is a sword that takes away life. So too, that's one of the reasons we don't put a knife on the table for Brixa Mosem, one spoke about it here, because nowadays we don't have a Shulchan or Mizbeach, and the table's in place of these things, and therefore we don't, at least Bizman Benchi, which is the Ikazman Avoida of the table, we don't want to put a knife, it's Makatza, on the Bimkoin Mizbeach, which is Mara. So too, the Mezuzah is Laman Yerubia Meichen, so we don't want to put metal there. Now, first of all, says the Mikdash Ma'at, even if this Shmur is true, that would maybe only be Barzel, because the sword is made of Barzel, but just the fact that the other things are metal, gold, silver, etc., metal, doesn't mean you can't use it for mezuzah, because that's not the halacha, not to use the makatza, which is the knife, which is Barzel, on the marich. Gold, silver is not usually used as swords, maybe a few special people, but otherwise not usually used as the sword, and then therefore you should be able to use it. Also, he says he doesn't believe that this was Yotzah from the Baal Shem Tov. You have to knock nails into the mezuzah, which is normally Barzel Mamash. It's the best way to knock the mezuzah in, and therefore it's very unlikely that there's such a thing. Probably, it's more of a technical thing that it probably doesn't keep as well in silver as in wood or plastic. The mezuzah probably doesn't keep as well because of rust and things like that. That's probably the reason. Sorry?
Metal conducts heat from the sun.
Yeah. But there are some metals that are quite good for the mezuzahs, so I don't know exactly. But yeah, heat, rust, and these sort of things. Okay. Now, let's go on to Serach Bas Osha. So we said, let's go back to the Chedras Yaakov's answer. We said, the reason why We don't talk about Hagolas Kelim or Tfilas Kelim in Milchemes Sichem Va'oig, because there was no one left. And therefore, there was this stage of limbo. There's no owner, limbo. And then the Yid got the Kelim. He didn't get it direct from the Goy, therefore doesn't need Tfilah. As opposed to the case of Milchemes Midyan, where there was still the Bonois who are Yorushos, because there wasn't any Bonim, and therefore it's changing hands from a Goy to a Yid. That's why it needs Tfilah. I found a very interesting thing last week I didn't know. V'shein bas osher Serach, the Ramban has a question. Why is it mentioned, why is Serach mentioned in the Parsha? The Parsha is talking about the people that are Yorush and Eretz Yisrael. Osher had boys. Only B'nai Slavcha, there were no boys. Osher had boys. If he had boys, Serach wasn't being Yorush. Why is she mentioned in those that are being Yorush and Eretz Yisrael? So Rashi says, because she's still alive, we counter her like some. The Hashiva's thing, we know Sarah lived a long life, maybe lived forever, went into Gan Eden alive because she brought to Yaakov Avinu the Oid Yosef Chai. Therefore we mention it Agav. It's very shver. The Ramban brings a Girsa in Targum Unkelus, Vashum Bas Itus Osher Serach. The daughter of the wife of Osher was Serach. That means Serach was not the daughter of Osher, rather Vashem Bas Osher, the person that was known as the daughter of Osher, what's her actual name? Serach, and she's not the daughter of Osher. She was just brought up in the house of Osher, and that's why she's called Bas Osher. But she's actually Serach, and she is not the daughter of Osher, she's the daughter of the wife of Osher. With that, says Ramban, we can answer why she mentioned in the parsha of Yerusha Sa'aret, because we'll say that the wife of Osher had a daughter called Serach from another husband. That husband never had any sons, and therefore she was Yerush. No, it's not, but Slavkod was the other person. Right? Like B'noi Slavchod. And actually the Gemara says in Yesh Mochlin that Yoidea Hoyo Moshe Avenu she B'noi Slavchod Yorushos. He knew that B'noi Slavchod are Yorush. It's just a Shiloh of Bechoira over there. So how did he know? How did he know? The answer is he knew from Serach Bas Osher, because she was also someone that never had any brothers, and that's why she's mentioned in the Parsha, and that's why she was Yorush. It was just an extra Shiloh by B'noi Slavchod that the Gemara discusses over there. That's what the Ramban says. The problem is, who was her father? Let's make a cheshbon. It couldn't have been any of the Shvatim because they all had boys. If they all had boys, who is this father that she is coming from that doesn't have any boys and is a Yorush in the house of Yaakov? Right? So, there's a few ways of getting around this. The most simple way, Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yaffa says in his Sefer Tchelet Mordechai, it's also in the Kor Hazov on Pirushim on the Ramban, they say that there's a lot of families missing. If you go through the Seder, you see Rashi talks about there's a lot of families missing. In the Osher family, Yishva is missing. So this was the husband of Osher's wife, it's a son of Osher, and then he married his daughter-in-law after he was Nifta. Yeah, it's not a problem. Matan Torah, etc. So Yishva was Nifta, he had a daughter called Serach, he had no sons, he's already the Doi under the Shvatim, he had no sons, so it was a granddaughter of Osher, a daughter of his wife. And she was Yorush as a daughter of Yishva. That's a simple answer. But here comes some Chidushim, and then I'll tie it in with, if we have time, with what we spoke about. The Netziv says, Taka, Bas Osher shouldn't be getting Yerusha. Let's leave the Ramban. She was the daughter of Osher, let's say. She's the daughter of Osher. But there were boys, so why is she getting? Gzeiras HaKosov. Torah says so. Torah says she's getting. Not because of any reason, she's getting. This answers the Sefer HaYosha. The Sefer HaYosha says explicitly that she was not a descendant of Yaakov, she was a descendant of Bnei Aver, which goes back to our original question. Let's go with the Ramban. Serach plus Osher was not the real daughter of Osher, she was the daughter of the husband of the wife of Osher. So who's her husband? Bnei Aver, someone not from the family of Yaakov. So why is she being Yorush? Now it's Yisrael. The Fida Nativ, it's not Shver. Gzeiras HaKosov. Gzeiras HaKosov, Serach plus Osher. Maybe a Schus, because she told Yaakov, I don't know. Serach Bas Osher is Yorush. In a similar way, the Sifsei Tzadik, it's one of the Geras for him, he says an interesting thing. He says Yeah, he says, it's for you. He says like this, that her father was a ger that was nizgaya bizman that avoided Mitzrayim. He went to work in Mitzrayim as well. He like joined up as a Jew and he suffered like the Eden. So although it says gerim do not have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, says gerim, that's gerim that came in the Midbar or later. But a ger that came in Mitzrayim and suffered like a yid, but mamash, it becomes dovuk in Klal Yisrael, it becomes like the Shvatim, and is yet a Yorush. And therefore, since Serach was a daughter of a ger that was mistabik to Klal Yisrael and it's Mitzrayim, she is Yorush in Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe that's why Yisrael didn't get a
chay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, very quickly, we'll see if we manage this. Serach Bas Osher is relevant to adoption shilas, right? Whether you call the child after the parent's name, or it's not good because it gets into shilas of Aroyas, it's going into the whole thing. But there's a Chasam Sofer, there was a story once in a certain village where there was this Reb Elia, and he had various children, and then his oldest child, who was called Ben Rebellia, went and married his sister, which is Aroyas. So they called him in, what's going on? He said, it's not really my son, it's my wife's son. She had a child out of wedlock, and we kept it quiet. I'll push her. When we got married, we called him my name, but really he's my wife's son, and I want him to marry my sister. What's wrong? So obviously, Halacha Lamaisa was Osa because of Chazoka. He was known to everyone as the son of Rebellia. But the Rav at the time said, what do you mean? You give him an aliyah under the name Rebellia. You give him to write and look, all sorts of things under the name Rebellia. How can you do that? If he wasn't your son, you wouldn't do that. So Chasam Sofer says, it's not true. You see, V'shem Bas Osher, Serach. And it wasn't the son of... But then he goes through a whole arichos, but B'kitzah Nimrots, he says, Lamaisa, when it comes to Yerusha, you tack it on to call the adopted son, Mamash, your son. Right? So now, if you mamish this family called him Ben Reb Elia for everything, they're going to for Yerusha, he's going to get Pishnaim, the oldest one, he's going to get Pishnaim, all the others are going to lose. A father wouldn't do that to adopt the son and mamish give him, you know, higher status over the other children, and therefore the Choritz Arai, it was his son, and therefore he knew he's doing Aroyas when he married him to his sister. So he's, and he says like this, it says in the Torah, Vashum Bas Osher Serach, which is mashma, he called a Serach for everything. The Torah is simple. Serach was a girl. Let's go, not like the Rambam. Serach was a girl, and therefore she had brothers. If she had brothers, he wasn't worried she'll take the Yerusha, because a girl, b'makom lebonim, unless the father gives it to her, isn't Yerush, and therefore he can call her Serach, it's not going to share the Yerusha. And therefore it can't be a raya to a boy, where there would be a kepeda, maybe not to go so far, and call him for everything the son of the father.
Yeah. Thank you.